Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It's April 29th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for being here. I'm actually sitting in a parking lot at a Wendy's, because my dog is getting her first bath and nail trim today, and I've got some time to kill. And so I figure, what better way to do this than to talk about the weekend in golf and kind of sit in my car and kill some time while she's undergoing whatever bath and beauty that she's going through. So we've got a weekend of golf to discuss. It really was a pretty enjoyable weekend, I think. I know that it probably didn't have the same kind of hype that we've had in the 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks prior, right? We didn't have Scottie Scheffler in action. We didn't have Nelly Korda in action. We had a team event on the PGA Tour. You know, there wasn't quite the same amount of panache, but it was still really entertaining, and we had a lot that happened. So I would like to start with the Zurich Classic of New Orleans and Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Those guys got it done. They're your champions. They wound up winning on the first hole of a playoff. I really like the playoff format for this tournament because it is unique. It is different. And McIlroy and Lowry got into a playoff at 25 under 263 with Chad Ramey and Martin Trainer, of all people. And unfortunately for Ramey and Trainer, they had finished so much earlier, and they probably had no expectation that they were going to get into a playoff, that 25 under was going to hold up. Because when they were done 2 hours before the round finished, you had Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne out there, and they were playing pretty well, and it looked like if they continued on the path they were going, it might be a 27-28 under par total that wins. And then you have two massive double bogeys from that pair, one on the par 3 ninth when Zach Blair hits his tee shot into the water, and then on 17, which is also a par 3, when Blair hits an awful-looking tee shot. And then Ramey hits a terrible chip. And then Zach Blair hits a horrible putt and goes 6-7 feet by. And Ramey can't make it, so now it's double bogey. It was not good. And so 25 under does get into the playoff. And meanwhile, Garrick Higo and Ryan Fox, who I did tip on 2 off the first outside of, you know, the guys who won. They wind up finishing in third place. But you've got this playoff that comes after, really, to be candid, McIlroy and Lowry should have won in regulation, but they messed up 17 as well. And McIlroy's kind of hop and stop chip on 18 was a thing of beauty. Man, I wish he would bring that out a little bit more often. But he seems to thrive in those kind of need a chip for your partner situations. And he did such a great job there. Then in the playoff, so they play the playoff with Ramey and Trainer. And the first hole is 18. And 18 is played as alternate shot. And if there were a next playoff hole, they would go play 9, which is the par 3. And they would play that as a 4 ball. And then they would come back and play 18, alternate shot. So just 18 and 9, alternating formats. I really like that. I think that's cool. Now, we didn't have a need for a second playoff hole because Martin Trainer just chunked one, and that was kind of the end of that. They made bogey an alternate shot. McIlroy and Lowry made a pretty routine-looking par, and there really should have been a second playoff hole, but there's not. Lowry and McIlroy win. Now, Rory McIlroy has 25 PGA Tour wins. Seems like an important milestone. Puts him in that halfway to 50 category. Not that he's going to get to 50 wins. I think getting to 40 wins is a big deal in this era, which is still 15 wins away. That's still a lot of wins to go. But it was great to watch. It was really fun. It kind of caught on at the end. I think part of the problem with the tournament is when you have one player that's kind of an unknown in a singles competition, you can kind of root for them and go, oh, yeah, I'd love to see a great story. Maybe someone changes their life or that they've overcome something. But for whatever reason, for me, it feels different when it's two players. And it's like two nobodies, two guys you don't know, two mules, whatever terms that you want to use. And it's like, how do I root for them? And at the same time, I mean, it would have been cool for Ramey and Trainer had they been able to pull it off. I mean, they have not very good status on the PGA Tour. And for if they would have been able to beat what was clearly the best team in the field in a playoff, it would have been maybe very important for their careers. Still, they get some important FedEx Cup points. They improve their status, and that's not a bad thing. So then you have McIlroy and Lowry, and they were very deferential and very nice about it, you know, especially about the lengthy wait that Ramey and Trainer had to get to the playoff and have to wait for it. And then they have the post-tournament news conference, and then they have the post-tournament concert where McIlroy and Lowry show up, and McIlroy gets a mic, and he starts singing Don't Stop Believin' with the band that was there to play, which I believe was the Molly Ringwalds, which was like a tribute band of some kind. And it was awesome. No, that was fun. That felt like it was genuine and like who this guy is normally. I mean, you've probably seen videos of him singing like a lunatic on a Ryder Cup bus, especially from Marco Simone this past fall. That's what you want. Like, that's the personality you want from professional golfers. You want them to show that they care, that they are people, that they have fun, that they're not just machines. And I thought we got that the whole week from Lowry and McIlroy, who really played this tournament on a whim at Marco Simone. We're like, hey, we should do this at, you know, in New Orleans. Okay, well, let's do it. And they do it. And they win. And just it's cool to see genuine friendship turn into something in a competition. And I really liked that facet of it. And I know that the tournament doesn't do as well on television. Not as many people watch it. For one, there's this weird effect because Jim Nantz doesn't call it the tournament. It's the Catalan effect. And Andrew Catalan is very good. He does a good job. I don't know if he's the future voice of golf on CBS, but he does a good job. And yet still, when you hear him welcome you to the CBS Open, you know the start of the tournament, like, Nantz is in here. Well, this thing doesn't mean crap. Nah, turn it off. That's a real thing. That is a very real thing. But at the same time, I also think people kind of crap on the team event because it is different and it is a one-off. It's not a part of a series. It's just, hey, this week we're playing a team. Is that cool? Okay. Well, at the same time, it's very well embraced, I think, by the local community. And you can see that in the crowds. You can see that in the footage of McIlroy playing, you know, being lead singer. All that cool. Like, the community embraces the tournament. And there are times when I have paid attention to this event over the years and go, I wonder why Zurich/Farmers, you know, they're the same holding company, why they keep cutting these checks. And then you go through this, you go, okay, well, yeah, this was really cool. Like, more of this having fun. And I know not every player is like this. You know, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele won. The last thing you would want is to hand Patrick Cantlay a live mic and put him on a stage. It would be so, so awkward. I don't even know if he knows how to sing. And I'm pretty sure he would crap his pants. But there are players who have that kind of personality and that you want to root for them and that you want to hear more of them. And if there were more opportunities for that to happen, it doesn't have to be at a post-tournament news conference. It can be, you know, just like a thing afterward where it's not just a trophy presentation, but like having some fun with it. Not just, here's all the dignitaries, here's all the people from the club, here's all the stuff from the sponsor, here's the trophy, hold the trophy. Goodbye, see you next year. Something a little bit different than that, I think, would be a cool opportunity for content like this, for one, but two, also just a way for kind of players to relax a little bit after they've won and show off who they are and that they're grateful for what they've accomplished. And the great thing for this tournament is you get them back next year. Like, they're not going to not defend. So you get McIlroy and Lowry to come back and light it up and have a good time. And also very, very, very smart move by Shane Lowry in all of this. he decided he was not going to sing. He was just going to stand up on stage, smile and laugh at his friend, and drink beers, and hand his friend beers while he drank. That was very, very smart, because that I don't think Shane Lowry is a gifted singer. So that he recognized that very quickly and was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and have a good time. That was the play. That was the right move. So I'm glad that they had a great time. And it turned out to be a fun event in the end. So congrats to the Irish duo for the win. Then I do want to point out on Liv, and I will give them some credit here. They had their first ever team playoff for the win. And what was that? Like almost 30 Liv events. This is their first playoff for the team title. And I forget what the other... I don't remember the two teams. I remember the Australian team won, the Ripper guys. And I don't remember who they were playing against. But they went to a playoff, a team playoff, after the tournament individually had been decided. Brendan Steele won, and there seems to be kind of an interesting parallel to like the Mayakoba event to a degree, but also to the one in Tucson from last year. Very similar kind of breakdowns of players, and who knows if that means anything. But nevertheless, so Brendan Steele wins. The quote-unquote Phil's team, there's Steele's team as well, the High Flyers, they wind up finishing third. And then there's a tie for first place at 53 under par total, which we can talk about that in a minute. Like just the juicing of under par at live events is kind of insane. But you have this playoff. Cam Smith winds up winning in the playoff. And, you know, they celebrate like it meant something because they were in Australia. They're all Australian. You have Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, who sadly I kind of forget about, but he is a good player. Lucas Herbert and Matt Jones, who probably the luckiest guy on the planet in terms of marrying up. And it was a cool moment for them to be able to do that in Australia. And you really can't have that opportunity in too many other live events. I mean, and if somehow the Majestics, I'm not sure how to say that correctly. I'm going to say Majestics, but if they, for some reason, somehow won or had a big moment like that in the event that they hosted Lee Westwood's club, basically, or the one near Lee Westwood's club, JCB. If they had that moment, like that's your only other kind of parallel. They're all the other teams don't really have an easy parallel. Like you've got the Latin American team of Torquay, but they have an event in Mexico, so you know they're not all Mexican players. The Fireball players, there are a couple of them who are from Mexico, but not all of them are, so that doesn't work. It Sergio could kind of work, but they're not all Spanish. You know that makes sense. You have this all Aussie team, and it kind of worked out. You know, that was a cool moment for them. Did that really mean anything beyond that? No, I don't think so. Just because it was the right place, right situation. Unless they do that every year moving forward, there's really no analog through the rest of the schedule that makes sense for them. But they did have a tournament. It was well attended. I think that the number Liv touted was 93,000, which I feel like was not that different than last year. But hey, you know, almost 100,000 people over 3 days is really good. I mean, this is by far Liv's best audience. And they're going to go to Singapore this week for their next tournament, and no one's going to be there. And it's a stark contrast this year, and it was last year, it will be this year. And part of me thinks if they just ditched the idea of trying to have so many events in the United States and they basically forced these guys to go to Australia six times a year, and you did it in Sydney and Adelaide and Melbourne and, you know, pick your cities, at least if you did four, you would be very well received. And you would probably do very well financially. Now, would anyone in this country watch? No, because it's in the middle of the night and no one does that. But in terms of commercial success on the ground, it would be much better for them. Again, you're going to have that contrast this week going to Singapore and going, all right, well, there's nobody here at Sentosa Golf Club. Let's have a great time, everybody. Because it's a million degrees and the turnout is just not the same. So there you go. Whatever. There was the incident with Lucas Herbert's caddy getting hit by a full water bottle on the watering hole, the par 312. It's kind of their version of 16 at TPC Scottsdale. The guy got hit in the head with a full water bottle, had to take a knee. Hopefully he's okay. Sounds like he's fine, but that was not good. And that's not just a knock on Liv. Like, this idea of embracing craziness, well, craziness will happen. You can't, if you're going to put your arms out for it, you better be ready to take one on the dome. And unfortunately, the guy who took it on the dome was Lucas Herbert's caddy. So there's that. I also want to talk about the LPGA a little bit. They had a great event at Wilshire Country Club in Los Angeles, like right in the heart of Los Angeles, one of the big five clubs in LA. There's Wilshire, there's Riviera, there's Bel Air, LACC, of course, and I forget what the fifth one is off the top of my head. But tremendous, tremendous club. They're about to do a renovation, so they won't have this event there next year, but they've had it for the last several. And they had a really great tournament, the JM Eagle LA Championship. The folks behind JM Eagle put up the prize money of $3.75 million, which is the biggest outside the majors in the Tour Championship. $562,500 to the winner. That is a sizable amount of money on the LPGA. And it's just a real joy to watch Wilshire Country Club on TV. It is old school. It is different. It firmed up over the course of the week, so you had to play the bounces. You had to play short of targets, even short of greens, to get what you wanted. And that was real. It's an old school kind of version of golf. You don't get to see a lot on tours anymore. And just the layout of the course just plays perfectly to the topography of the land. It's really well supported by the local community. And that's great too. And Hannah Green winds up winning. She goes back to back in this tournament. Second win this year. She now has 5 LPGA Tour wins. She was 35-1. If you listen to the press, we told you you had to bet her. It's practically free money. And it was free money. She wound up winning at 35-1. I really like watching Hannah Green play. She's just a great, great ball striker. She's not the best putter that's ever been. And she kind of has the conundrum of being a tortured ball striker. But to get on a course like this, that where she clearly likes the greens, a lot of the bounce is very similar to the sand belt in that regard. A lot of the look is somewhat similar to the sand belt. So that probably all kind of jibes with her. And she winds up winning for the second year in a row. And it was really cool. And Maya Stark was right in there. She finished second. And then right behind that, well, not right behind that, 3 shots behind that, Heyram Rue, who had a really, both of them had really nice weeks at the Chevron. Hannah Green, not as much, but for her to get that win second of the year, obviously she's not going to be player of the year. That is Nelly Korda already. And that was as of last week. She's going to be the player of the year, unless someone goes and wins like two or three majors of the 4 left. But cool to see another player stepping up, getting a second win on the year, trying to put some kind of post in the ground of, hey, Nelly's awesome, but I'm also really good. And for Hannah Green to be able to win twice in a year, that's a big breakthrough for her. To be a little bit more of a consistent player, that's the thing that she really needs to fight. And hopefully she can get there. I really like watching her play. She's really engaging. She's fun to watch. It would behoove everybody if she does play well more often. She's already got a major. Get a second, that would be cool too. She is the kind of player that could do very well in the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club. Again, old school architecture. She likes that kind of stuff. A little bit of bump and run, a little bit of playing the bounces on the ground. I think she could do very well with that. So very, very enjoyable there. Then we had back-to-back winners, or a back-to-back winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. So we had Frankie Sappen shoot 58 in the first round, and he didn't even sniff the win in the end. Tim Beating won for the second tournament in a row. If you want to hear more about the Korn Ferry Tour, check out our weekly show, The Road to French Lick. Put our second episode up last week. It's been really fun doing this series. But Tim won last week in the Lecom Suncoast Classic in a playoff over Patrick Cover and Stephen Fisk, who was in a playoff before that, and beat Rob Oppenheim in Savannah at the Club Car Championship. So Tim Beating was last week the 8th first-time winner in a row to start the season. He is now the first guy to win 2 tournaments this season. He goes back-to-back. shoots 31 under par 253 on a par 71 golf course. So he set the Korn Ferry Tour 72-hole scoring record in terms of relationship to par and in total. So he took the records away from Daniel Chopra, who had it from, oh man, that must have been close to 15, 16 years that he had it at 30 under total. And then Steve Wheatcroft used to have the total at 255 when they played here in my area at the University of Maryland golf course, where they lit that up. He shot 59 and they crushed it. Well, Tim Vitti didn't need a sub 60 round to do it, which is even more impressive. And now he is practically guaranteed a spot on the Korn Ferry Tour, or in that Korn Ferry Tour 30, going to the PGA Tour next year. If he wins another, there comes the promotion. So he's got stuff still to play for. And that actually could open up another spot. So a lot of his peers might be rooting for him to get a third win at their expense, because then that means another chance for another player to get points and move on to the PGA Tour as well. Very interesting kind of development over 2 weeks for a tour that had seen tons of playoffs and five playoffs and eight events, all one-time, first-time winners. And now you've got Tim Vitti, who puts down the peg and says, look, I'm the best on this tour right now, and I'm going to the PGA Tour next year. So kudos to him. Congratulations on that. And then you had a great event, the ISPS Handa in Japan. I really enjoyed watching the early rounds. I got to be candid with you, I didn't watch the weekend rounds, but did watch the early rounds. I like that. I love watching Japanese golf on TV. Beach bunkers are just something to behold. We don't really have those in this country, but it's a really cool architectural feature there where they kind of have the bunker go into or lead into a water hazard. Depending on how much the water moves, it might cover it just a little bit. I just love that. I love Japan architectural quirks. So I wish we could see more Japanese golf on American TV, or even European TV if you're watching from over there or listening from over there. But that's the whole weekend. This week we've got the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which is an amalgamation of two tournaments. It's the old Byron Nelson, except now it's called the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which I think is extremely weird and we should not be doing, but we are doing. And then we've got a week off of the LPGA. We've got time off for the Korn Ferry Tour. Liv, as I mentioned, is in Singapore. Over on the PGA Tour champion, Stephen Ames won again. He won on his 60th birthday at TPC Sugarloaf in Duluth. Won by four over Paul Broadhurst, who was trying to go back-to-back. And then they're not off this week. They're in the Woodlands, Texas. And then after that, they've got their first major of the year, the Tradition in Birmingham. And then on the DP World Tour, they are in China for the Volvo China Open, which is an event that's been on and off the schedule really for a half dozen years, basically off because of COVID and all the restrictions around that. Now that's back on. So they'll have that back as part of the schedule this year. So a pretty full slate this week. Plenty to talk about. I'm sure someone will say and do something insane or dumb, and we'll have plenty to talk about in that front. And if not, we'll bring you the good news and interesting quotes and conversation leading into the tournaments this week. Thanks so much for listening. You get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. On Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Ryan Ballingy Golf, or Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Golf News Net's on all of those services at the handle Golf News Net. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next time. Not my car. On Two Off the First.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.